Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a feather from beyond proved that some goodbyes don't last forever.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, so if you have a real ghost story, we would love to hear it. You can call it in 855-853-4802 or write it down by going to realghoststoriesonline.com. If you would like to get advanced episodes, access to the archive without the commercials, then become a premium subscriber. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Kathy Gorton, how's it going today?
Well, it's going pretty good. Would you say that you've ever had something from beyond, like a feather from beyond, other than pennies?
Yeah. 100%.
What would you say?
I've had birds fly up and look at my window.
Birds.
I think
okay.
They are from my dog Buddy.
Okay.
Although the pennies thing, like the other day when you were here, you found a penny on my step, which was kind of weird. And then after you left, I got done walking Benji, came back home. There was a penny on my step.
That's so weird because
I know
we would have seen it.
Well, you picked one up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do I keep doing? Just dropping pennies every time I leave my house? It was just weird. I forgot to tell you that. Pennies is my big thing. And, you know, there's a lot of people who feathers are a sign for them. Everybody's kind of got their own thing that could be a sign.
The thing I find interesting about pennies these days, which makes it stand out to me, is nobody carries them.
Well,
it's
I mean,
not like
I
we all have a
them.
Chain of, like it used to be when I was in, you know, high school or college or whatever, everybody had a pocket full of change, right? You'd dig around in your pocket and you'd pull out quarters or whatever, and you'd have change. So the fact that somebody could be digging around in their pocket, spill a couple pennies, that, you know, you could see that. Nobody has money these days.
I mean, I
just in
do.
Their pockets.
Not in my pockets, in my purse.
Right.
Although
you
I
might
take
have
that
a little
back.
At the bottom of your purse,
I
but
take that back because, like, all of my jackets that I walk in have pennies in the pockets because I find them.
Well, that's
all the
because
time.
You're finding them. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's not like it used to be when we all had cash and change and, you know, stuff. Everybody just uses cards.
Yeah,
I
still
have
always have. I always have cash and change. I'm the one person who's always got a little cash.
You're weird.
A little cash money.
Because nobody does that. I hate to break the news to you, but.
Well, let's talk about this story. I think this is kind of an interesting story because when we talk about feathers, you assume it's from like grandma sending you a feather. And that's not quite the case in this story.
Back to our conversation in just a few moments. First, I want to tell you about Rula. I absolutely love the idea of Rula. I love this company. I love what they do because therapy is something that should be accessible to everyone. And Rula really makes it happen. Finding a therapist can be hard enough, but finding one who actually takes your insurance, that's where most online therapy platforms fall short. Many don't work with insurance at all, which means you're stuck paying the full cost out of pocket or paying for an expensive monthly subscription. Rula does things differently. They partner with over 100 insurance plans, making the average copay just $15 per session. That's real therapy from licensed professionals at a price that actually makes sense. Think about it. You use your insurance benefits to maintain your physical health, so why wouldn't you do the same for your mental health? And Rula isn't just affordable. The expertise is tailored around you. Other online therapy platforms might match you with the first available provider, whether or not they're the right fit. Rula considers your goals, preferences, and background to provide you a curated list of licensed in-network therapists who are actually aligned with what you need. I know, rocket science, right? But they also know that finding the right therapist can make all of the difference. No wait list, no frustrating back and forth. Rula makes it easy to find a mental health provider who is accepting new patients, and appointments are available as soon as tomorrow. Plus, Rula sticks with you throughout your journey, checking in to make sure your care is helping you move forward. Just go to Rula.com/ghost to get started today. That's RULA.com/ghost. For quality therapy that's covered by insurance. Thousands of people are already using Rula to get affordable, high-quality therapy that's actually covered by insurance. Visit Rula.com/ghost to get started. After you sign up, you'll be asked about how you heard about them. Please support our show and let them know we sent you. That's Rula, RULA.com/ghost. You deserve mental health care that works with you, not against your budget.
Okay.
It says, hello, RGSO family. The backstory needed to tell this tale is a little long, so I apologize for that. It all started with my most infamous harebrained idea to date. My mother and I owned her family's historic farmstead in Wisconsin, and I was sick of how many ticks were on the property. Oh my God, I hate that so much.
Me too.
They can cause like serious illness, like for a long time.
Yeah.
I did not want to go the chemical route, so I started researching natural alternatives. I discovered that chickens are known as tick eaters, but we need something that did not require a caretaker as no one lived at the property. So I settled on ringneck pheasants as a suitable alternative.
Interesting.
You know what else is? Possums.
Oh. Possums. Well, I don't know that I'd want to have a whole bevy of possums around me.
But just remember when you see one, they're doing some good things. Further research revealed that I could buy any adult pheasants from a game farm and release them on my property in the spring. This was the perfect solution in my mind. It would bolster the dwindling pheasant population in the area, hopefully cut down on the number of ticks, and it would save those 10 birds from becoming victims of an organized hunt. I placed my order in the winter months for 1 rooster, 9 hens to be picked up in the spring, and I could hardly wait. I love that so much. I just love that so much. As it turned out, Easter weekend was the earliest the game farm suggested releasing birds due to expected weather conditions. Eager as I was to get underway with the project, I said I would pick my birds up on that Saturday. Wanting company on the drive, I called my friend and asked, "Do you want to go on an adventure?" Those words later became an inside joke between us because of the chaos that ensued.
No, I can only imagine what could possibly be chaotic about a trip with a bunch of ringneck.
Oh, this is funny too. It says, I went to pick up my friend driving my little Kia Rio hatchback.
Oh, this
is going to get pheasants.
Oh my gosh.
I had confirmed with a game farm that I didn't need a crate or anything. They could put the birds in burlap sacks for transport.
Oh, dear.
I neglected to relay that information to my friend. So as I pulled into her driveway, she had a wired dog crate on the ground next to her. We attempted to fit it in the back seat of my car, but to no avail. I told her it would be fine. I had a dog seat cover in the back. And again, forgot to tell her the birds would be restrained. Brave soul that she is, she climbed into the passenger seat, fully expecting that the 10 wild pheasants would be loose in the backseat of the car on the two-hour drive from the game farm to my property. Then in parentheses, she knew me well enough that the scenario was entirely possible.
She's a true friend. That's all I have to say.
We found the game farm. I paid for my birds. And after a short wait, a man approached us with a burlap bag full of pheasants. He gave me a sidelong look when I opened the rear passenger door and instructed him to place the bags on the seat. Apparently,
it wasn't even in a pickup or anything.
Oh, yeah, here it says, apparently when other people buy game birds, they have a special transportation boxes and pickup trucks.
Yeah.
I was none the wiser. Cold spring rain began to fall and just heavy enough to be annoying as we headed for my farmland. I hope the rain would quit before we got there so we didn't have to release the birds in a downpour. For their part, the birds were well-behaved for a time. We kept glancing in the back seat to make sure everyone was alive and still contained. All seemed to be going well. Then the smell hit us. Foul, sulfurous, gag-worthy.
Yes. I just don't even know. Like, all of the things I could possibly... This has already crossed my mind, all these things. Oh, Lord.
I hadn't thought about the smell.
Oh, I had.
Despite the rain coming down more heavily, we had to crack the windows to get fresh air in the car, and it didn't help much. My friend looked back and confirmed that, yes, the birds had defecated, And that was the source of the odorous smell. The birds must have been growing bored, for shortly thereafter, they began to struggle against their burlap confines. They no longer seemed scared. Instead, they were miffed that they were trapped. Wings flapped, legs thrashed, beaks clacked as they struggled to free themselves. Did you know that birds could hiss? We found that out on the drive. They also make sounds straight out of Jurassic Park when they're mad, which they were. Whoever wrote this wrote it so funny.
Oh, my God. But all of these things I just saw coming. I'm like, oh, this is so bad.
As they tried to wriggle free, they continued to potty, regardless of the fact they were getting it all over themselves and worse, the interior of my car.
Well, of course.
I drove a little faster as the stench worsened, if that was even possible, and the birds grew more restless. When we finally arrived at the farm, we clambered out of the car, gasping in the clean country air. For a moment, I forgot this is a ghost story. I'm assuming it circles back, or they wrote into the wrong show.
Yeah, we could just start a podcast on just horrible predicament stories that people get into.
I reluctantly opened the rear driver's door and grimaced at the mess inside. Bird poop was everywhere, from the inside of the windows to the backs of the headrests and on the floor. The smell was rancid. Deciding to deal with it when I got home, I grabbed the sacks of pheasants, eliciting alarmed hisses and chirps, handed some off to my friend. We picked up a suitable release location and let the birds go without much trouble. They wisely tucked themselves into the bowed over canary grass and disappeared. As we returned to the car, I realized there was something in one of the bags still. Confused, I looked into the poo-caked burlap and found eggs. Those crazy bird laid eggs in my car. Bewildered, I pulled the eggs out of the sack and examined them. We found one more for a total of three eggs. Two have been cracked by the struggles of their parents, so we pitched them into the woods for scavengers. The last egg was intact. Now, I had no idea if the roosters and hens were kept together and if the egg was fertile, but being me, unable to throw away a potential life, I cleaned the egg's shell of muck and tucked it into my hoodie pocket. On the drive home, my friend Googled DIY egg incubators and sent me a link to a list of what I needed to build one. It was shockingly simplistic. I dropped her off at her house, went to Fleet Farm with the egg safely tucked in my hoodie. I built the incubator and popped the egg into it on April 15th, 2017. Fast forward to the morning of May 9th, I went down to the finished basement where the incubator was located and was met by the glorious sound of cheeping. Against all odds, the egg had hatched. In hindsight, having done more research into raising birds from eggs since then, it truly was a miracle for so many technical reasons. I introduced the new arrival to my other animals, my gentle 45-pound dog and two rabbits. The chick, at only a couple days of age, approached my dog boldly and began pecking his teeth as he was laying down panting. It was at that moment I realized she could never be released into the wild because she wasn't afraid of anything. I named her Darby because she had hatched close to the running of the Kentucky Derby that year, and I kept her as a house pheasant.
No.
As one does.
Yes, as you do.
She had a pen to stay in for her own safety while I was at work. When I got home, I went straight to the basement, unleashed the menagerie, letting Darby and the rabbits out to wander at will. The dog joined in as well. I played movies for background noise as I worked at the computer writing. I could go into so many details and fun stories about living with a house pheasant, but after all, this is supposed to be a ghost story, so fast forward to July 2019. Darby got sick. It was sudden and terrifying. I had no idea what had stricken her, but it seemed neurological. I stayed home from work for several days, praying she would turn around and get better. I tried calling around to vets that saw chickens, thinking a pheasant might be in their wheelhouse, but came up empty. Not knowing what else to do, I stayed with her, even sleeping beside her at night. One day, I did have to leave her alone, and by the time I returned, she had passed away. I dug her grave in the side yard, buried her, but thoughts of her never left my mind. I moved out of my parents' house in September that year and bought a house of my own. As part of moving out, I had to clean up Darby's space and dispose of her things, having no further use for them. It was really hard to do, and I was in deep mourning for her. One night, as I was sitting at my computer desk in the new house crying over thoughts of Darby, I was disrupted by my dog. He came over to me all of a sudden, whining urgently. He pawed at me, whined, barked, anything he could do to get my attention. I finally looked at him and saw a dark spot on the white fur of his chest. With my vision blurred from tears, I couldn't quite make out what it was and thought it might be a bug or something. I reached for it, and my fingers came with a feather pinched between them. I was struck dumb. It was one of Darby's, unmistakable in its unique patterning and subtle iridescent flash. How it got there, I cannot fathom to this day. Everything, furniture, blankets, etc., had been cleaned up prior to moving into the new house. As soon as I plucked the feather from his fur, my dog fell silent. He settled down beneath the computer desk as if relieved to have delivered the message. I started sobbing, clutching the precious little feather to my chest and wishing I could see Darby again. I was grateful, though, that she had sent me a sign that she was safe on the other side and watching over me. Thank you for all you do in giving us somewhere safe to share our encounters. Take care. And I think this person's written in before, and I'm not sure how to say the name. It's A-H-I, so a hi, a he. I'm not sure how to say that for sure.
A-hi.
So I apologize if I butchered your name, but I love that you cared about the pheasants and your whole idea and everything and the adventure. I okay. love the story.
Now, I would have to say that, would you do this? Because you are such an animal person.
I am.
Would you have gone to that sort of extreme?
To get rid of ticks?
Well, no. I was thinking about the egg.
Oh, yeah, I probably would.
See, I think you would have too. Like, I'm not sure I would have. I probably would have called a bunch of people and talked to them, and they probably would have talked me out of going through it all.
But it was so meant to happen, I think. Like, the whole thing was just meant to happen.
Yeah.
He was supposed to have a house pheasant.
Well, and, you know, like, growing up, or, well, at least spending a lot of time in western Kansas, where pheasants are... ringneck pheasants are just, you know, a huge thing. And I know people that actually raise them and let them out for gaming purposes and, you know, have hunting lodge and things like that. And I was just, when they were going to get it, I was just shaking my head like, oh no, oh no.
Now, that's what I would have done differently. I would have gotten some kind of crates and I would have had a pickup.
Yes.
Or some kind of van, because
you know darn well what's going to happen to your vehicle.
Yeah, like I'd have gotten some big crates, zip-tied them down or whatever you use in the back of the truck. Not zip ties, but you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Those pulley things. And I would have...
Tarp-type things.
I probably would have gone that route. But it's so interesting. After all that, the freaking pheasants laid eggs while they were in those... burlap sacks.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that the pheasant ever even hatched. But to me... Well,
I think they were too.
And you would see, because any bird loses feathers from time to time.
Uh-huh.
You would have seen one of your pheasants, Darby's feathers, laying around.
Yeah.
You know exactly a Darby feather versus a chicken feather.
Now, could have it just been caught on one of the dog toys and they didn't see it moving and somehow it ended up with the dog?
Possibly in the dog bag or something.
You know, but it's that feeling.
Well, even in the dog seemed really distraught.
Yeah, yeah. And it happened right then when they were upset about the Darby, and then it comes and here's this thing, and so it just feels like it was all meant to happen right then and there.
I thought it was the best story.
Oh, I love it.
And I love
it's such a you story.
Big heart.
That's such you.
Oh, my
like that big like that. Heart and that you would just go to those extremes. I know you.
And then to have your own pheasant. I'd let my pheasant be in my backyard. But the thing is, you'd almost have to keep the pheasant in the basement or clip its wings, which you can do with chickens.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be flying off. But whew, that was a great story. But I definitely think that Darby sent the sign.
I do too.
I like to think that.
Yeah. No, I do too.
It's so funny that you don't think, you know, all the times a lot of people are like, oh, it's just an animal. It's just a bird. It's just this or that.
It's a pheasant, you know.
Yeah. And then, you know, I don't know. Like you and I have connections with our pets, as most people do, that are much deeper than that's just a dog or just a cat.
Right.
You know, and that was her pet.
Oh, my dog is my just
everything.
The love of my life, practically, you know, how I am.
My dog went to the barber yesterday. He's looking quite good.
Oh, he's handsome.
Well, let's listen to this story from our dear friend, Eric, in Central Illinois.
No.
Yes.
Hey, this is Eric calling from Central Illinois. I got a quick one for you because I'm waiting in line at the cat brothel right now. My number 762, so I'm close. So the last couple days.
Did he say a cat raffle?
I thought he said a cat brothel. I wasn't sure.
I gotta go back. Okay, let's listen to this again.
Yeah, let's see.
Central Illinois. I got a quick one for you because I'm waiting in line at the cat brothel right
now. Eric, were you at a cat brothel or a cat raffle or where were you? Because we'll never know.
Cat brothel.
Okay.
The cat brothel right now. My number 762. So.
And he's number 762. Like, is there 761 people in front of him? Like, we need more information.
But I think we got a story.
I hope you're not at a cat brothel because that just doesn't sound right.
Oh,
okay. That's a whole nother podcast now, too. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay, here we go.
Close. So the last couple days, a week or so, I've kind of been feeling something kind of funky. I couldn't put my my thumb on it. Like somebody wanted to communicate with me. Didn't really know what this. You know, meditate and whatnot. But so the other night, it would have been, Saturday? I'm walking from our kind of like dining room area, putting the dogs away, past the laundry room, and I see a shadow on the door in the laundry room. And so I just thought it was my partner because, you know, when she was putting the boys' laundry away and stuff, I thought maybe she was doing something. Well, then I stopped because I hear her in his room opening the drawers to his armoire. And so I stop, I back up, and I try to replicate that shadow. But the shadow, the way it was cast, came off of the light in the laundry room onto the door. Not from me. So I'm standing there. I'm like looking like I'm a freaking idiot doing the running man, moving my arms, flailing about. And she walks out and she's standing there and she looks at me. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I just saw a shadow. And, you know, then I get the, you better not be bringing that stuff in here conversation. I'm like, hey, so I sit down and I kind of meditate there and try to get, kind of a feeling of what it is. And I just started getting like a pain in my head. And then it kind of just moved down kind of like the side of my body on the right side. I could tell it was not my pain. This is not something that I have. And then it was just kind of went away. So the next morning, wake up, in the kitchen, you know, get my coffee made, asking the kid what he wants for breakfast. And I open up my Facebook, you know, as we do as robots. And the first thing that pops up is my partner's niece's post, and it was a picture of her mother that passed away from leukemia a few years ago. And it was like something where they thought she was going to make it. She was waiting on bone marrow transplant, and she just died. And all of a sudden, like, I got that jolt that I know, like, that's what it was. And I'm like, and I get kind of like this download of just like, this is it. She's fine. She's crossed over. But she wanted me to let my partner know that she misses her. And it was her, my partner's sister's birthday that day. So, so then I told her, I'm like, hey, here's what I got. Da, da, da. She's like, well, yeah, she's doing fine because she's with my mom now. So anywho, just a little something funky that happened. I hope all is well, and talk to you guys later.
No, wait. So did the sister pass away?
I think it was. I thought the niece had posted that, like it was a memory.
Right. But at the very end, he said that she was with her.
So it would be his partner's sister, right?
Yeah, I thought...
Because it was the sister, it was his partner's niece.
Okay.
And the niece's mom died.
Okay.
So that would make it his partner's sister, correct?
I think so.
Okay. I think
maybe
that's
I
right.
Got confused.
Yeah, well, I'm still confused over the cat brothel, but anyway.
And he was number 762.
But I think
he is waiting a long time.
I think we're going on this, that... There was a shadow. There was that feeling of communication that somebody was trying to communicate with Eric about something. And then the second he saw that post, he's like, oh, it's the anniversary of that death. And I need to let her know that she's okay. And she said, yeah, I know, because she's with mom, right?
You know, I have talked to a number of people with abilities like Eric. And they have said the same thing. A lot of times when they go into a location, they sense the way the person died or
that's
something
so
traumatic. So, and so like one guy I was talking to, I think it was someplace out in the Southwest, like Tombstone or someplace like that. And he felt it in his neck, like he couldn't breathe. And come to find out, later, he found out that a man had been shot in the neck there. And I'm like, and I've talked to several people who can do that.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting because you would have to discern that this is an actual paranormal encounter I'm having and not, I don't need to call 911.
And that I myself am not having
a, right?
You know,
because,
a heart attack or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, because it could be like, am I... Like, is this a medical emergency? I don't know.
Well, and I think that sometimes, like, I think particularly Eric and people like Eric are fascinating. Like, to have that ability when it's not somebody necessarily close to you, even. It could just be, like, the guy that you interviewed and the numerous people you've interviewed this way. It's a complete stranger. They just got this, you know, reading from them.
Right.
But I think it could also happen to people when something happens to someone they're close to, that all of a sudden they get this, you know, like, and the reason I'm saying this is because I used to work with a woman and it was the most fascinating thing. And I might have told this story quite a while ago, but it's so fascinating. It reminds me of this. And she told me that she had a twin sister and they were very, very close, but they lived very far apart. I believe this sister was in New York or New Jersey or something. And this woman lived in Kansas. They talked all the time on the phone. And she told me that one night she woke up and she just couldn't breathe. And she felt so hot and she thought, you know, I must have a fever. I must be getting sick. I don't know. She said, but I just couldn't breathe. And I was just felt like I was just suffocating from the heat. And she said, and then finally, like a couple, 2 or 3 hours later, she felt better. And she thought, okay, well, maybe this fever or whatever I had broke. Well, then in an hour or so, she got a phone call. Her sister had passed away, had died in a fire. And so I think sometimes, even if we're not, we don't have Eric's sensitivities and talents as a psychic, as a medium, sometimes it can come through to us because we're so close to someone.
And we don't always pay attention to it, you know, because you might be having some, you know, you might go to a location and actually experience like, ow, my arm hurt all of a sudden. Oh, keep going. You don't think anything about it. Right. But you don't put the two things together. And that's what Eric's been working on, I think, and I think that's fascinating. Because you don't always put it together. You know, in your friend's case, I mean, that's profound. And that's that twin connection.
And there is that, right? There's also that. But I think that we can have these things that happen to us because we're, even like I said, even if we're not so talented as other people psychically, I think it can still happen to us if we're paying attention. And I'll bet even our listeners have a lot of stories that someone they knew, and then they were able to actually feel the feelings of something that they were going through.
Mm-hmm. But I think it can happen to a lot of people. We just aren't in tune enough with ourselves to know that we're getting something, you know?
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Eric from Central Illinois. And if you have a real ghost story, we would sure love to hear it. Call it in 855-853-4802 or write it down by going to realghoststoriesonline.com. Become a premium subscriber if you want. You get the advanced episodes, access to the archive without the commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.